Cancel, I decided to file a couple other issues that do need to be brought up aside from JBG, although you're certainly welcome to talk to anything that you care to regard the plan. The other point administratively is that due to an administrative glitch, we don't have minutes prepared, or at least brought in to vote on, so we're going to vote on both of those at the next meeting. If there is no objection, and if there is, then we're going to have a hard time getting minutes trying to approve. So without any further ado, Maya, go ahead.
Sure, so.
Come on in.
We will be doing a brief overview of the matrix. I'm Maya Contreras, I am the West End planner with the city. This is my colleague Nathan M., and our very interesting presentation right now. For those of you who just came in, we have copies of the presentation in back.
Okay.
We may be referring to those until the presentation comes up. Just to give you a brief overview tonight, we're going to be discussing the Beauregard Design Guidelines Matrix, and then I'll do a quick staff update on two other projects that are in the immediate area. We'll have questions if there's any from the group or from the advisory group, and then we'll plan for next steps. So, one of the things that we wanted to talk about is that the implementation group has this hefty document of standards and guidelines. When the Beauregard Urban Design Committee was put together, there was a lot of careful thought that was put into how the new neighborhood should look. It covered a large part of the city, so we wanted to make sure that it was done properly. JBG very kindly went from 6 blocks down to 2 blocks, so it's a much more manageable portion of property that we'll be covering. But I was not working on this in 2014 when it first came in, and I know some of you were and some of you weren't. And so since we had the opportunity to have a little bit of a discussion, and since we've got Kathy and her wisdom here, the questions I had was, given how much information there is that you'd be looking at, what can staff do to go through it a little bit? What can staff do to help format it for you? How would you best like to have discussions about it? And then Kathy, if there was anything you wanted to tell us about how it was done when the first concept one came in 2014?
Yeah, I think, I can't remember if all of you might have been here, right?
At
the home, when we did home properties.
Yeah.
And I had Amy kind of go back and look at how did we do that. And we had this matrix, and we had meetings where we talked as the project evolved, just like we've kind of done here, although we had a 2-year interlude, where you all gave us feedback and we incorporated it, or if we had areas where we had disagreement, we'd go back and work and kind of come to resolution. And what happened in that is once we filed the preliminary plan, so we had a number of meetings where we were all just having discussion, and our team was going back and addressing comments from staff, comments from you all. And then eventually we got to a point where we filed that preliminary site plan with the DSUP application. And at that point, staff did a first scrub of this document to say, here are all the things that either don't apply, they're not applicable to this project, or they've been met. And then staff came to you guys and said, okay, here are the, I can't remember what it was,
five, ten,
however many things that deviate from the requirement. And staff gave its opinion on whether that deviation was appropriate or not based on all the conversation we had had. And I think by the time we got to the point of making those determinations, everybody, I think, felt pretty comfortable with what the deviations were and why we were asking for them. And so then at that point, you all had conversation about each of those items and then gave it your blessing or did your letter with whatever additional comments. And so that was kind of Maya and Nathan, I don't think we're here when we did that, so I kind of suggested that that seemed to work well from our perspective. I don't know what you want to.
I thought it was a very different process, and particularly since any given situation, we're not going to have more than a dozen less deviations, and really focus on those deviations. There may be, I think if I recall, there were some issues that everyone thought, the staff thought was fine, that we had some questions about, and but we could identify those in our own review. I didn't think we had to go through them. I don't think we need to go through this document necessarily in totality during one of our regular monthly meetings. You know, so
sort of, let's talk about the deviation, and then if there's specific questions about other things, then whether it's parking or something else, you know, then we can have a conversation about that.
Well, I think, frankly, it's a very efficient way of doing it, but obviously we can't continue.
Well, and I actually think but Mark brought up a good point, because I actually think that you all had that checklist in advance, and I think I remember, Carolyn, you perhaps had some questions that were beyond the ones that had been identified by staff. So it's not just staff identified them and you all just automatically agreed. I think Pete, others had questions where you'd say, you know, on page whatever, what about this one? It says they need it. I have a question about X, and then we hit it that way.
Yeah. I personally use this as a checklist and went down, and, you know, obviously if it's not applicable, that helps greatly. That cuts the document in half.
Right.
For those of you who don't know it, it's a 44-page document. So there's a lot of detail. And the other thing is, we could check as far as not only the language, which helps sometimes if you have different staffers looking at different sections, it's not consistent.
Right.
And we want to be consistent. But it was a perfect checklist, because then you could just go right down and all you have to do is manage by exception those items that were controversial or you had a question about. I thought it worked pretty well. I mean,
I agree.
No, it's been used in other planning.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I love unanimity.
And it worked there too. So.
Well, we like anything that works. So if everyone is in agreement on that, then that plan sounds good to me. Kathy, in terms of timeline, does JBG have any guesses? Okay.
Because, I mean, that right now, pencils are down.
Yeah.
Because of the issues with city comments. So I know I talked to Carl the other day, and he was going to go back and talk to his team a little bit more. And so I think they'll be making a decision on if or how to proceed based upon whether we can come to a resolution on a couple items with staff.
Okay, that sounds good. We'll keep everyone in the group posted. Before we leave,
hopefully it won't be 2 years.
Anything that we should know? Anything controversial?
Anything we can help
with? Well, it's the staff's continued insistence that we have to have an office building in the first phase of the town center. And we just don't agree with that. We think the town center is a plan. It calls out a certain amount of office, retail, residential, and there's an illustrative plan, you know, that appeared to show the office at the corner of Reading and Beauregard. But, you know, there's been 498,000 square feet of office that has left Beauregard. They just you're going to hear a presentation about them converting an office building to a school. Mm-hmm. And so it is, I'm going to say, it's absurd to say to us that we don't have to have an office building in this phase or a hotel when there's no market for either. And the other suggestion would be that we leave a blank pad site at that corner, which also doesn't work, because in order to do the project, we have to tear down the shopping, not all of it, but that wing of the shopping center. So you're not going to tear down income-producing property to leave a blank pad site. And you're also not going to create a town center with a pad site on the corner. And so we're kind of working through staff with that, but that's a pretty big policy question that we need to work through. And like I said, we talked with Carl the other day, and we had a meeting where we came in and showed some design adjustments based on the discussion here. And, you know, the other issue is this idea of height. You can't artificially force a building to be 130 feet when it's $50 a square foot more to build a concrete building. And so I think Lee's worked really hard to try and say, okay, so how can we try and achieve the intent of getting some additional height here without changing the construction type? And we had a meeting with staff where we showed them some options. So I think they're discussing internally, and I think JDG's discussing internally. I mean, it could end up that maybe we just go forward with Block G, which is the grocery store with the residential and retail on that side. Or, you know, maybe we can work through it and do both. It's just kind of, you know, we usually like to continue to
been a lot of discussion.
Meet and, you know, hash it out and figure out some type of solution. But this is just a really unfortunate circumstance that I don't think anybody could have predicted back in 2008 to 2012, this kind of wholesale change in the office market out here, right? We had the Duke office buildings, we had Brack coming in. We actually thought there might be some spin-off office. And just what we're finding everywhere around the region is office wants to be a metro. And if you're going to be building a new office building, it's going to be, you know, within a quarter mile or half mile of metro, and or some major transit infrastructure. And we just don't have that. I know that there's the plan for the BRT. It's not here yet. So that's what we're struggling with. And trying to work with staff to kind of show them that even if we don't build office in the first phase, there's opportunity for office in the future phases in the town center. So. And staff, you know, I think is, you know, I'm just going to speak for you guys in the sense that from a policy standpoint, right, the city is always trying to get more commercial density, right, and trying to add commercial density. Problem is, you can't just force it like that. You can't just build it and they won't come. You can't just afford to do that spec. And when we're in the West End, I think the most critical thing is trying to create a place, like trying to create that first phase that everything else can build from. And the office market is just very different. People aren't even taking as much square footage for office as they used to. So all of our kind of assumptions about how much office we're gonna get, we're also finding that people are taking that much less square footage per person than they did even 5 years ago. So there's a number of things that are kind of playing into that conversation.
Well, let me ask this. I was gonna bring this subject up. The business, now's a good time for me. From the staff's point, mm-hmm. is this, going back to the discussion we were having just prior to the meeting, that so much detail has been legislated into this plan that it requires amendment?
I think that with the small area plans, and you know, a lot of you have been part of the small area planning process, it becomes a really detailed discussion about trying to maintain that jobs housing balance, trying to look at factors for funding things like the Ellipse, funding the West End Transitway. There's all of these big moving pieces. Mm-hmm. And you know, and in this plan, the height and the density were concentrated in these areas right here in this stretch along North Beauregard. And so our concern and the balance that we're trying to maintain is that if it doesn't happen here where it's shown, then you know, where will it happen? When will it happen? F1 and F2 were supposed to be the places that, you know, I'll say broadly, non-residential primarily occurred. JBG owns most of the area, and I think when you look at it, it's, and I'm sure Kathy will correct me if I get the numbers wrong, but it's something like almost 90-95% residential in the overall plan, and so we do feel pretty protective about that portion that is non-residential.
Well, I think my question is the larger issue, is that office, to use that specific example, is required in different sections of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have the same problem all the way through. And my question is, if we have to work towards some kind of compromise, would it be worth it to try to incorporate some language where office, retail, hotel, commercial could be or one of those, so you have flexibility to move depending upon the economic situation at the time.
Can I just add to that? Just recently, the city right off of Northampton Street and King Street, one of the buildings there now is office residential. And have you been reading about that and everything? Office residential, where the apartments can be used one way or the other, both at the same time or whatever. So that's also, and that's kind of, New York does a lot of that. New York City does a lot of that. That this is a new prototype that's out there, and it's the prototype that we couldn't have even anticipated in 2008. And so I think it's something to consider. If you want to keep the business there, it's going to have to be flexible space. I would assume JBG would want it to be flexible in some manner.
Well,
Well, I mean, we just have a difference of opinion about whether that is required in that particular location, because it's a small area plan, and it does say in the town center, there's this much office, there's this much residential, there's this much regional, and we certainly did generally show the appropriate locations for height and uses. So I'm not saying it's not completely off the mark, but I don't think we understood it to mean that if this box is shown in an illustrative kind of master plan, that it would definitively be a building that looked like that box, you know. So that's a little bit of a difference of opinion, because we could still do it in the town center. As to flexibility, you know, that new building, I think it'll be real interesting to see whether that's successful or not, because I think the concept is successful in a city, urban city. I personally question, and I don't have any expertise on it, whether the type of person that would be attracted to that type of building is going to be attracted to that building that far away from Metro, basically. Because you're going to have to drive there if you're going to use it as your office, right? Unless you have an office and live there, too. So that's kind of an interesting new concept, and they're popping up more and more. I'm interested to see how that leases out. I don't know if anybody has any other information about how it's
being... Are you talking about the WeWork?
It's
ELOS.
And so the question is, do we think that'll be successful? I don't know.
But Kathy, going back to your example of, okay, you indicated, JPG indicated that this box on this map would be office space. Well, I'm kind of seeing both sides here, I guess. Would the city really want somebody to build something that would sit there empty? We already have a lot of vacant space in this city. You know, I would personally, as a taxpayer and as working on this group, I think I would prefer to see something built, even if it was less, different, whatever, if it was full and generating revenue. And to have a building sitting there empty, we don't need more of those in the city. We don't need more.
How full is the BRAC building? Do we know?
The last I had heard, someone had asked me about traffic and the traffic counts. I think it's occupied.
Oh, yeah, but that's a purpose-built project for a particular client.
Right, because I know it was coming in stages, and I think the last time I had checked, everything...
Once the ramp was finished.
...was fulfilled.
Once the ramp was finished, it was indicated to me that once that ramp was finished, then they would go to full capacity, whatever that might mean.
How big is this also going to be?
You know, that's the thing, is that there wasn't, I don't think, I'd have to go back and look. So in our approved CDD, it just says this much office, this much retail, this much residential. So it didn't say like by building, which is why we have a disagreement over whether, I don't see this as a change to the master plan. I see this as the first phase of a development that is scheduled to include office at some point in this general area. So
there's two issues here. One is urban design and one is economics.
Yeah. Right.
And marrying the two, it's not, you know, mixed use doesn't necessarily mean that it has to have all the uses. So I think if the city has a goal in generating, you know, revenue from office building, I don't think that's the right in this economic situation. So, and there's always amending a plan. I mean, I don't see based on the economic situation. So, and then when we look at the urban design, you look at Mosaic, the office component is very, very small. Everything else is residential and retail and commercial, and it's vibrant. So I think it's an urban design issue, and then you don't want to have empty storefront, nor do you want to have empty office building. So I think we have to reconcile, the city has to reconcile, those aspects, urban design and economics, and where urban design should drive the economics instead of the economics driving the urban design. And an office building, in this context, does not drive urban design, the urban design that we're going after, necessarily.
I think part of it, too, though, is that balance of uses. There is office in Mosaic. What we've heard from our economic development partnership is that office is leased, and if they had more, they could lease more. So I think that's an instance where, similar to what Kathy was talking about with metro-centric locations, just as you see a lot of people are putting their small offices, downtown DC is popular again. the Reston Town Center office, you know, any place where there's a place where you can bring your employees in and you can go to lunch and you can go to happy hour afterwards, and there's that vibrancy sort of for an 18-hour day.
It's a five-story office. I mean,
that,
very
but that's the key. You got to have a place.
Right.
We don't even have a place.
Right.
So to build an office building when we don't even have the place yet, and that's what we're struggling with.
You
can,
usually the residential needs and retail is part of that, and office will follow afterwards.
Right.
And at Mosaic, that's custom maintenance in that office space. That's second floor, isn't it? Aren't there, or
yeah,
third floor or something?
It's only three or four.
Yeah.
Four floors.
Yeah,
yes.
It's
very
nice.
Small.
So it's more flex office,
mm-hmm.
you know, creative office is the model there. And
I think there is room for that. I mean, there's a new concept that we work and
yep.
where you have, you know, you mix.
Right.
But you have to provide, and then there was, we used to have live work units. And that's gone.
It's a standalone office building, I certainly understand. It doesn't make a lot of sense economically right now.
That's right.
At least in that location.
And I think this goes right to the point that we have to have somehow built in, however this is resolved, whether it requires, which I'm hoping it's not, some kind of legislative action because that entails delay, or whether there is some degree of flexibility in the overall pattern. Yes, there, clearly the urban design matters, but there are also, I think, some legal issues here too. And I think that has to be a priority, that this resolve, because this will be recurring over every other DSUP that we have to consider. And that's going to hold up the whole works. If we do this, if we have to go that route, yeah, I'm of a firm belief that we need to do that once and get some kind of flexibility. And I'll tell you why. It's not because of some kind of malevolence. It's because of the lead time it takes to get something like this done. You know, in my neighborhood, which is part of the SAP, we've been working on this from 2006, 2007. And the fact is that by the time you actually put shovel to dirt, well, there have been new inventions, there are new plans, there are new economic factors, and it's we have to have that flexibility. That's my personal opinion. Not that I've tried to influence anyone else on
that. Well, it is kind of interesting in that, you know, if you look at the Eisenhower West Small Area Plan, I think staff has tried, in at least in that plan, to go the other direction a little bit, not be so specific, because it's supposed to be a long-range vision. It's supposed to be very high level. And then there's that balance between, well, how do you have it be high level but also assure that the citizens or the stakeholders who participated are going to get the outcome that we discussed, right? If you weren't there in 2008 to 2012, you missed a lot of conversation, right? So I think that's kind of the balancing act. In this instance, you know, that the small area plan, we have a CDD that got approved. The CDD concept plan doesn't show any buildings. It just shows blocks, right? And it says, here's how much of each of these uses in this town center and open space. And it's really the design guidelines that then drive the design. And of course, that's the whole purpose of this group, is when we deviate from whatever the standard or guideline is, you guys have to make a judgment as to whether that's appropriate or not, given the facts and circumstances in front of you.
Sure.
What you have to understand is the impact, because when you set a precedent, I think you have to understand the impact on the future plans and then the impact on the overall plan. So that's why you have to address that within the overall plan.
I agree. Yeah. Okay, is there anything more to be said on that?
These are the same discussions staff is having, so I'm glad to hear that everyone's brain is going in the same direction.
And if there's anything we can do to help?
Yeah, just one question.
Sure.
Is there something that we can add to make this a one-time decision following the peak? You know, if we need the flexibility, we need some omnibus, is there something we can do to support staff to make this happen?
I think
quickly and finally.
I think at this point, as Kathy said, staff and the applicant are continuing to talk. We're looping in the city attorney's office so they can make sure to do that legal review that Pete was talking about. And then once we reach a decision, a direction, we'll come back to you guys. And then we'll follow the discussion that Pete and Kathy were describing for the design guidelines. So we have a more streamlined format, because it's a pretty daunting document. We want to keep things simple and discussion worthy.
And the overall objective is keeping moving.
Right.
You know, with minimal delay. Because it's taken a lot of cuff already. I'm sorry, the, go ahead.
So
did anybody else, I'm sorry, did anybody else have any comments concerning this specific issue right now? We're a little informal tonight, but, okay.
All right. Well, then we will move on to the next agenda item, and our apologies, we are having technical difficulties, so if any of you didn't pick up the meeting notes, or the slide notes, please do. And we will have this posted on the website tomorrow so that you can see these in a little more detail, but we were just gonna do a quick overview on two projects that are, they're not in either any of the seven neighborhoods that were identified in the Beauregard Small Area Plan, but they are within the plant area. So we just wanted to give you an update. The first one is the urban school site, which is essentially right across the street from the town center that we've been discussing. There's the intersection at Reading, and that has the Equity apartments and townhouses on the northwest corner, or northeast corner, and then just up there are three buildings, two office buildings, 1701 and 1703 North Beauregard, and then behind that there is a parking structure. And in the wee little picture, and again my apologies, 1701 is this one on the corner of the intersection, 1703 is behind, and then the parking structure is behind that. So
where are they in this map?
They are right across the street.
Where's this blip up here?
Right across the street from the shopping center. So
which is what color?
The large orange piece is the town center. And it would be right in the center across the street.
Okay.
It's across the street.
Right.
Correct.
Here.
Right about there.
And so the one off the 1703 office building is occupied. The 1701 is on the market. And so ACPS is interested in purchasing it. It's a six-story office building. It has a one-hour fire rating. And so what our understanding is from code administration right now is that only the first four floors could be used for school. And then they would, the upper floor would probably be used for office. There's still a lot of discussion going on. Right. But it would need to be an office use. The parking structure would be used for parking. There is a possibility that they might be putting some open space in there as well, that that might be a play area. The plan that we received showed 73 spaces being used for that, but it didn't show us where in the plan that that would be located. So staff gave them comments about two weeks ago. And that was one of the questions that we had. How would open space work? How would parking work?
And bus delivery and drama.
Right. These are all big, broad questions that are on the table. That is the proposal. We are still working with code to determine if that's possible and what means of egress would be need to be added. We know
what
that
are we talking about here? What's it?
If there were, if the parking garage had a play area on the top of the structure, how you would handle egress. We know there would be a new stair tower proposed in the office building. There would probably need to be a second office stair tower proposed on the play structure, on the parking structure as well. There is a site plan that was approved when the two office buildings and the parking structure were constructed. So what they're proposing would be an amendment to that site plan. So it would be Planning Commission at a minimum, probably City Council. It would depend on what special use permits they need, and we haven't figured out all of those because we're still waiting for some information. They will be doing a presentation at the school board meeting this Thursday. So that will be when the school board, I'm sure they've been briefed individually. But
have they designed, do they have a concept design for it?
Not that they've shared with staff yet. Mm-hmm. They may have something more that they provide to the school board.
If you go on their website, the ACPS website,
yeah,
there is stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What is the pole area for this great elementary school?
They have said K through 5 is what it said on the plan.
Geographically.
I reviewed.
K through 8.
Is that what they're showing now?
K through 8, and they're not going to do anything until they do the redistricting. And they're starting the redistricting plan now.
Right.
Right now.
And with the idea that it would be implemented in 2018, I guess.
So that they did not want to designate what until they had the redistricting done.
So lots of questions. We will keep you guys posted. And then once, you said that the presentation is posted?
They have a lot of information about this proposal on the ACPS website.
If I could put in 2 cents on this, then I'd have a lot more.
Right.
I think that this is a very poor decision, and it reeks of a situation where the school board is doing its thing independently of the city, where they come together is when it comes to finance. And I know the city is going to have a chop on any of the DSUPs, developmental special use permits that are required. But there are several factors that need to be seriously looked at. Number one, and correct me if I'm wrong in this, but my understanding is that the requirement for an elementary school is that they have 4 acres of open ground around it. And for a high school, it's 6.
And I believe that they have updated that as part of the long-range school facilities plan, which was completed about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. They do have a discussion of this urban schools format. Fairfax County had converted an office building into a school. And so they were looking towards that. Yeah. And so they are starting to amend some of those open space requirements, and they're looking to see, you know, are there opportunities to bring in cafeteria service, to, you know, share open space, to provide a more flexible plan.
The point is that under any circumstance, that clearly has been waived in this instance. Okay, and those of you who have seen perhaps the School of Paley's that they're using as a model, it is a good plan. But in this specific location, we have a problem. You have Transitway Corridor C going right down, Beauregard Transitway going right down here. The PTA at John Adams, which is now the largest elementary school in the city, is adamantly opposed to this. It's going to be hazardous to be able to walk across those streets, and if you stop the bus rapid transit when that's put in the center lanes, what's the use of having that as a transit corridor? The other question is that if Beauregard has to be widened, that is going to be moving that curb right up to the sidewalk. You're going to have a sidewalk, road, sidewalk building by an elementary school. Not the wisest plan, in my opinion. Now, having said that, Patrick Henry, and I know there are plans.
Going to hearing in December.
Yes, going to hearing. Right now, Patrick Henry is 86,000 square feet. On the single story that it occupies. There are 13 and a half acres of school land around it. There's also adjacent to that another approximately 2.5 acres of, it's a total of about 14 to 16 acres of public open space and school land. Now it strikes me that you would be able to meet all the requirements for the school, and God knows we need the seating capacity for the schools in the West End. That is urgently needed, there's no question about that. But if we're putting this off to 2018, it strikes me that if you put in a 3-story school building, you have, over the same footprint as 1-story, you've actually tripled your floor space. The city already owns the land. Patrick Henry is going to be renovated. Why not go through and let's make it a larger renovation? It seems to me that that would be a simpler pattern. The only other thing that I propose facetiously is that perhaps if the city or the school board does acquire this office building, that they sort of swap it out with some space for JBG and you all can build a new school. And again, I said that's pretty facetious, and I tell that it's caused mirth on the attorney's side over here. But the point being that good concept, wrong place. And from what we've been able to tell informally, there are some members of the school board that have been taken a little bit by surprise by some of the changes that are going to be happening in the Beauregard corridor. I think that this is the wrong specific location, wrong execution of a good idea. And that idea is that it needs to be over by Patrick Henry, where you have already well-established routes for transportation for the students, where you have the room to expand, and where that can be done safely in a much lower traffic area than Beauregard. That's my 25 cents.
So to pack on that, putting this on the table, expecting somebody to run with it, I have many, many years of experience here. If we want this to happen, and it eminently makes sense, we're going to have to take the lead on it and start making it happen.
You're saying moving the site or having...
No, we're going to have to request the meeting with the school board. We're going to have to do the planning. We're going to have to get our into the ditch and start forcing some issues here. Not just throw the idea out and say, it'll take over on its own. It doesn't work that way. And if we really want this, you know, I have battle scars from the number of, you know, fights that I've had with various and sundry things. And one of them involved a school called Samuel Cutler, which is a whole other story. But the fact of the matter is that it makes eminent sense. We've got the land. Let's use it. Let's put it in a safe place. I think this particular decision is more of a panic decision. We need it now. And this is a building that's now, you know, what have you. Yes, another issue that's related, but we've got to think about as a city, is we're rapidly going from suburban to urban. And we don't quite know what to do. We're exploring that rather innocently, naively, stupidly. You know, we need to get ready for it. And it's happening to us. So the other obvious question I've got is across the street from where we're sitting right now is a college that has lots of land, lots of people, lots of ideas. Let's get them involved in this. They have teachers at these places. They're not connected. So we're going to have to force the issue. Could you arrange for, I'll make a specific request, could you arrange for us to actually meet with the school board and discuss how this plan came to be?
The Planning Commission already voted on it.
The Planning Commission, as my understanding,
they voted that it was consistent with the master plan to convert the office building to a school.
That a school use in the Beauregard small area plan, not the site itself.
How old is it? It's the newest master plan for those schools.
No. I'm saying the city Beauregard master plan.
Oh, okay.
The city facilitated the conversion by saying to the Planning Commission that the city felt it was consistent
within the Beauregard small area plan.
This particular site.
No, this particular site, because in order for them to acquire it, it has to be determined.
They haven't acquired it yet.
Right, but in order for them to do it, a Section 906 hearing has to occur, which was that hearing. So they basically voted that this use in this location is not inconsistent with the master plan.
And that's where we disagree.
Well,
I guess what I'm saying is that hearing happened, and so that input probably should have happened. Yeah.
I mean, in the past, ACPS always had an active master plan for what it was going to do with schools.
But they do. They have a facilities plan and they're like, it's a problem. You're right. They have the bodies that are going to need this space by 2018, and they can't get approval of and build a new school by 2018, nor probably do they have the money, because you have to get the land, you have to buy the building, you have to build the building.
But
so
they have to provide trailers on a temporary basis until that is
They're built. Already doing that, though.
We'll do it some more if they need it. But the point is that, there are a couple of points. I think that's a little bit beyond the scope of what we're doing, which brings up a question that Carolyn had, and that is how, I presume this is a courtesy briefing to the committee, because this is in the Beauregard area,
right.
Technically it's not part of the CBD.
Right.
And so technically, as a group that does not fall in our exact purview to render a specific opinion on that. However, as citizens being intimately involved in the Beauregard plan, I think we could certainly have that, not as an official BDAC function, but certainly if certain members here.
Our concerns about the safety issues in particular.
Sure.
At this location.
And it's what we, and it does impact what we are doing as BDAC in, well, in other aspects.
And your point about the transit is fundamental.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it also impacts the town center.
Yeah. I mean, these are issues that need to be raised, and we're going to have to do it.
Yeah, and so I think that it's appropriate if we could have a meeting with the school board to discuss that, but understanding that we're not ruling on the design, because we can't, we're not going to allow us to do so.
I don't know about scheduling a meeting with the school board, but I will find out for you.
Or at least some representatives thereof.
I will bring up that I think I'm pretty well versed in the Patrick Henry issue, and that went through big iterations and big battle over a long period of time, and they finally came to the school board, chose A1, and that was even the citizens, the residents who live smack dab right in front of it, right beside it, right now, had chosen C or C2 or whatever it was.
It was a question of bus access.
And it was bus access. And because they were moving it from Taney over to Latham. And the school board, they said, oh, this is good, this is good. And they came back with A1, and A1 was approved, and A1 has entrance off of Taney. I mean, off of Latham, along with some off of Taney. The residents down there, you know, this is very impactful to all of these people who live there. I mean, it's the width of a street, you know, that all these buses are now going to roar past their house into the parking lot. So there's a lot to consider when putting more there.
Oh, not
I will say Patrick Henry's going to hearing in December, so
right.
the idea of adding more to Patrick Henry right now is probably not this go around, but I would be happy to send you guys a link to the plans.
Sure.
Bus access aside, I think the new building will be very attractive. We're hopeful that the hearing goes well. And I will definitely keep you apprised of the urban school. It's come up quickly. It's a fast-moving train, so we will keep you in the loop on it. And then, as I said, the school board meets on Thursday for it, and that is a public meeting if anyone would like to attend. And then the other piece that we have, you came past it coming in. When you come off of North Beauregard Street and make the right to come up here to Goodwin House, there is a church site called Church of the Resurrection. And the church has voted that they are interested in adding affordable housing to their site to continue their church mission. And so we've been working with them probably about a year and a half. They came forward last summer with a couple proposals. They were in concept phase, never really got out of the site plan phase. And so then they met with us about 6 weeks ago, and they are looking at some other iterations. So that will be coming in as a concept plan, I would expect, in the next 6 weeks or so. And so that would be bringing it back to you probably in the spring.
Is that going to be a separate CDD?
That would need to be an amendment to the Goodwin House CDD. Because it's ranged from as low as like 65 up to as high as about 130.
Will it be a mixed-use building? Will the church still remain there?
There are some iterations where it does,
that's
and there
right
are some where it doesn't. This is why we haven't, hasn't been anything that's come to you
right
yet, because it is in such discussion.
Maya, the St. James project, one of the affordable
buildings
has gone.
Yes.
How many units was in that?
The St. James was, well, it was, there was the affordable building, and then there was the market rate
right
building. The affordable building is under construction right now, and that one, I believe it's 93 units.
Yeah, and the other one was was somewhere around.
The other one was a market rate building.
Yes, there was market rate, but it was still number of units.
I want to say it was a little bit more, but I have to look that one
okay,
up.
Okay, so this will help.
It's no longer going to be a, well, the proposal right now is to do townhouses there instead. It's going to have to go back to public hearing. It is also in the concept phase right now. We expect that that might go to hearing May, June of next year, maybe. It hasn't come in for the next submittal.
Just to throw this out to Jamie Dewey, all of these things that are happening, like the residential introduction, like these other places, how much of an impact, or if any, do they have on the town center or like F and G or any of those? Anything?
You know, I'm not sure that they do. I mean, I think from the spirit and intent of the Beauregard Small Area Plan, the St. James Project is a good one, right? It's brought affordable housing. We have a goal of 800 mm-hmm. units, so it's completely consistent with that intent. Same thing with Church of the Resurrection to bring an affordable housing project. So I think that's all to the good. The school, to be honest with you, I'm not really sure. I think my client may be agnostic on that, you know, as to whether that is going to have a good or a bad impact. We haven't really delved into it. I've made them aware of it. I think the reality is the schools are bursting at the seams, and these are the schools that are bursting at the seams, and that's the difficult part is, you know, John Adams and Ramsey, I think, are where a lot of that demand is. Now, the question becomes over time, right? Projection, they have projections out for however far they have them out. I think they do a pretty good job with that, but it'll be interesting because obviously as the Beauregard area does start to change and new development come in, that's probably gonna change a little bit of that school population as well, because the newer housing product tends to have less children than the older housing product.
And Gateway at King and Beauregard?
You know, I was going to ask you if you could give us an update on that project, because I know it got approved by City Council, and they're getting underway, and I believe they have a grocery store. That hasn't negatively impacted, thus far, JBG's ability to get a grocery store. So I think that's a little bit of a different submarket. It's just a little bit far enough away that that's not going to have an impact on this.
And that one is in the final site plan review right now. They are trying to get what's called a partial release where they would be able to begin clearing and grading on the site, and then we would then we would have probably one or two more reviews to finalize the architecture. But they do have a lot of site work to do there, so the sooner they can get going on that.
Are they building that all at once?
They are. So that one's going to be an office building with ground floor retail. The corner will have a ground floor retail as well with affordable housing above that. And then on Beauregard Street, there would be another mixed use building with the grocery store at the ground floor and then market rate apartments above.
And the school system is aware of all of these places coming online
with
affordable housing.
They are.
Okay.
We calculate all of those in. And then also, you guys have a copy, and if you here one here hasn't, we are doing a West End bulletin three times a year now. And so, thank you. So we have the JBG proposal. We have information on the Fillmore St. James project. So this basically covers the West End west of Quaker. So Beauregard, Eisenhower West, Alexandria West. It's a pretty broad spectrum, but please feel free to share it.
My other two, I could just close the loop on mm-hmm. the affordable housing that was lost, even though it's market rate over at St. James, this should make up a good chunk of that, shouldn't it? Church of the Resurrection, if this goes through.
Well, the affordable housing that was proposed with Fillmore St. James is being constructed.
Yeah,
the second building was going to be exclusively market rate.
Correct. Oh, okay.
And so it's
that was market rate affordable. Okay, I was saying correctly. Okay, so this will help.
Yeah, the overall number of units will be fewer because it's gonna be, and I'm making up numbers a little bit here, they might actually be on there, but it's gonna go from say 100 market rate apartments to 35 market rate townhouses, but still market rate units.
Just one question, it's mm-hmm. come up a couple times in casual conversations about emergency services in the Beauregard area. Because of the non-connectivity of the road structure and the intersections, some people have asked about location of fire units, what have you, police department, what have you. We haven't, I don't recall specifically discussing that in any one of our, it's sort of secondary, as I assume you've looked at it.
So yeah, it was discussed really widely in the Beauregard, small area.
Right, but now we're actually looking at it and making it happen.
You're asking specifically with the new units that have been?
Everything.
So fire and police review all the new units that come in. We work with Maurice Jones and fire.
So we're sticking with the original Beauregard.
Correct. Okay. And none of these projects have had so many units that it would tip the balance. But it is something that we keep an eye on the whole time. Any other questions?
I'm just going to ask a question about the affordable housing.
Okay.
I promise you, I understand about affordable housing. We went through all that through all those many years. But this affordable housing, say it's at the Resurrection. Mm-hmm. What type of affordable housing are we talking about?
I will answer that question. It would be multifamily.
Right,
tax credit.
Tax credit.
Yeah, tax
okay,
credit,
thank
like
you.
A 4 or 9%. I don't know if they're doing a mixture, but I think
they're
it's,
not sure yet. Either.
Yeah. So it'd be a tax credit deal that would go through the process just like St. James did.
Okay. Right.
So this
okay.
is still overpriced.
Yeah.
Very important.
But this would be a place for, because we keep being told that teachers can't live here and firemen can't live here and policemen can't live in the city and all of this stuff. And so I'm assuming that these will be just where every policeman, teacher will want to live.
And I'm not sure what the subsidy percentages are, and that's something that they will work with the city's housing department if they figure that out. And then also as they're looking at the calculations for the state tax credits, it's a very complicated formula that they look at to try to be as attractive a project as possible.
But the problem,
the problem is,
the teachers and firefighters tend to fall into that 60 to 80% gap,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're priced out of the types of affordable housing projects that we're doing. And it's interesting because we've looked at that before where as a starting like teacher or firefighter, you might get in to that unit, but like there was something, even the average pay raise, like the firefighters got a pay raise and I was like, that's all to the good. Firefighters are getting pay raises.
Right.
But it just further exacerbates that little missing link where they make too much to qualify for most of these affordable projects. Not everyone, but if you just look at the average
somehow
salary.
So this is why I brought this up.
How
this
do you
is what we keep talking about affordable housing, but affordable housing.
Well,
to
I'm gonna put a pin in this and dial it back. It is a fascinating subject, and it is definitely something that is talked about. We'll put it on to another piece.
Okay.
Another thing I wanted to ask about, depending on how many topics we have and in order to keep the group educated, would something on the Weston Transitway, an update on the Weston Transitway, be of interest to the group?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I have a question as to why the city is not looking at the Transitway here, which right now terminates right down at this intersection. Doesn't go anywhere. Why would it obviously would need to get down to at least King Street on this plan? Didn't they widen the intersection enough to take care of it?
On the current plan, the transitway would go from the Van Dorn Metro Station and then it would come up and it would connect to Crystal City. And that's the full build out of it.
The one in the Beauregard Small Area Plan had it coming all the way down to this intersection.
That's, if I may, that is only one segment because there's also Transitway Corridor C, which is the larger segment that May was talking about. The Beauregard plan only called for that portion that was actually within the boundary of the plan. But the idea is to make it, it is a good point, it's an excellent point.
But it looks like we're not planning ahead to.
But we are.
We're doing our best.
We're trying.
We can always use nudges, there's always room for improvement.
Well, the problem outside of this building on how they do it is also in the past, well, that was in the discussion of whether we did buses or trolley, was like the grade of that road is so steep. And there are some grading issues, I think, out in this stretch of Lower Park. But with the resurrection plan, wasn't one of the things they were showing was a, or you asked them to accommodate, was a transit stop? So I do think.
We're looking at it with every project. But it sounds like an update would be a good thing. So I'll talk to TNES and see if we can get someone to give an update on that.
That would be great. Do the public have any other questions at all, or comments, or jokes? I mean,
How are you gonna disseminate the bulletin?
It is on the city website. It went out on eNews. So if you're signed up for
eNews
for anything in the West End, it should have been there. We are trying to get it out as much as possible. So if you have another venue that you think we should put it in, we are working on it. This is only the second one, so we are still expanding.
I think the local paper, Alexander Paper, might want to just sort of stick that in as an insert.
Yeah, they had done a little blurb when the first one came out.
We might be able to expand that and have them do this as an insert.
They probably want us to pay for that.
Yeah.
I think we had a question up here.
I was looking through the matrix. I'm not sure if it's current one or not. But it also mentioned, in addition to the office space, community centers or some sort of community space.
Mm-hmm.
But it said to be determined.
Right.
Where is that as far as?
So the version that you were probably looking at online was the one that was the concept one where there were 6 blocks being covered.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're looking at 2 blocks. It probably wouldn't be in the first 2 blocks.
Okay.
But that would be one of the things that we would look at with the potential location that could be identified in the future. Alexandria loves meetings, and we need meeting rooms for it, so.
Yeah, and Carolyn, I didn't know you had time for it.
Right, and this is just after going home after our last meeting and really looking again at the new the new map and everything. Just refresh my memory, maybe I don't have it quite right. Maybe it's all planned out. How do the trucks enter the area to get to the loading docks?
Or building G or building F1?
Any of those. Will they be allowed to use that Reading Avenue entrance to go around? Or personally, I would like to say no trucks, because I think that would make it more of a town center without trucks, and that to get to their loading docks, they'd have to go from the outside to get there. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't know why I went home thinking about that, and I thought, well, if we have cars parked along the side, and we have tables with people eating in front of the buildings, and we have people walking along in front of the buildings, and I thought, probably it would not add to the ambiance to have big trucks rolling down.
Feel like King Street.
And that's what I was thinking to myself. I thought, it would be nice to avoid that. It would be nice.
What have they done at Shirlington? Because they've got a pretty good system there.
So I believe in Shirlington, all the loading is probably on the back side.
Well, it is here on the back side.
But it's a different road network. For G, and I can let Kathy do an update, but I think at least for G, the plan is to go up Reading and then come back around, because you've got that steep grade. But as future roadway networks get built out, then it may come around. Is there something I'm missing on that?
To be honest with you, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know that my sense would be that the trucks are going to use whatever roads are available, and they're going to use the most convenient route. That could be Raymond, it could be Reading. I don't know that we haven't gotten that far into that conversation. You know, the difference in Shirlington too is the city has pretty tight loading, unloading hours, which are optimal, I think, for kind of being sensitive to residential uses, but are not optimal in terms of conflict with, you know, the other uses of the project, because you can't load and unload between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. Right. That's the best time to do it when people aren't on the roads, but it's a pretty standard kind of noise ordinance requirement, so we just have to kind of fit the loading and unloading within the urban fabric in the off-peak hours is really...
And part of that is that urban-suburban dichotomy, like in places like Manhattan, which of course are like very different, but yeah, they require loading to be done at night, so that when the streets are the most empty, that's when the trucks are coming in. But I don't know who sleeps in Manhattan, so it is one of those balances that we go through.
Any other questions or comments?
Yes, sir. Do we know what grocery store is going into King and Bogart?
That would be a Harris Teeter.
Kathy, do you have any preliminary lead as to the town center? Would be going in there?
I'm not at liberty to speak about that.
You're not
at
liberty.
She can either confirm or deny.
Exactly. Good answer.
All right.
Publix. I can only pray for a Publix.
And I got you the Aldi.
I know you.
How about a Wegman?
I think Wegmans, we need a whole lot more parking.
Yeah. Any other, well, there's going to be a parking garage across the street. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I have one other thing I wanted to point out since you were talking about the new school that might be going in on Bodyguard. Well, the John Adams School is also across the street from this project, although I guess the development in that area is coming a little later. But my understanding is that school is going to remain. So there is still going to be an issue as far as traffic and buses and safety between the project and the current elementary school.
Yes.
Traffic is not going away. And, you know, one of the other things too to consider is, I know the city doesn't normally like these, but if that school ends up going in there, there's got to be a secure walkway over the whole situation.
We do have a Safe Routes to School program. It's a national program, and we look at that with all the schools. We have someone in TNES who oversees that, so that is something we look at on all the schools.
But we don't even know at this point if it will be a walk-to-school school.
We
don't even
know
that. We don't know that all the kids that go there might be bused. There might be no walkers going to that school. I mean, Just keep that thought in mind. I mean, there is that possibility.
When do you expect them to have the redistricting of the school system?
They're working on it right now. I believe 2018 is when they're talking about bringing it forward.
Will they present it before then, or?
Yeah, I think the implementation.
Yeah, like when will we know?
That I do not know off the top of my head.
Next spring. Carolyn, isn't it next spring?
Yes. And if you go to the ACPS website, you can find every little poop and squeak about the district. And, I mean, just give it to you.
Because, yeah, there's three schools in this area. It's,
it's a lot. It's a big question.
Yeah, but the city is really happy to get John Tyler back to the college.
I was going to say, too bad we gave away John Tyler.
Yeah, exactly.
But now they're doing a study.
Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, those three schools.
But they're doing a study of it now.
Right, they are.
Taking back the Lee Center.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments? If not, then meeting adjourned.
All right, thank you
all very much.
I'm going to go to the next one.
like you had a mini you. Bond came back.
Yeah, right, it was like, what, you come up, yeah.
I don't know what else. I'm retired. Right now, you're going to be more than me. I'm 69.
No, you know, being around the fire, I'm not retired.
The reason, what are you talking about? It's still here. It still depends on why this is still responsible. And it's safe.
I know.